The Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Ted in Beverly Hills. You know, if there's one thing we could all agree on is that child abuse is wrong. Child abuse is terribly wrong. That's why you should eat at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, by the way, is bringing the first portion of the program to you, and Ted Bell joins us from his restaurant. Are you at home, Ted?
Right now, Phil, getting ready to go off to work, but still at home, yeah.
Tell us about the Ted's of Beverly Hills Foundation. And the work you do on behalf of, you know, victims of child abuse, I guess, and you're also drawing a line between sexual abuse of girls and sexual abuse of boys. Am I hearing that right?
Well, Phil, let's start at the beginning, as they like to say. The Ted Beverly Hills Foundation has raised hundreds of dollars for abused children over the years because it's so vitally, vitally important. And if you heard our commercial at the top of your program, you know how important we feel that it is. What I'd like to do is educate your audience. Elizabeth Smart was abducted, brainwashed, assaulted. You have to make it clear to that girl that what happened to her was horrible. And certainly we all know that what happened to her was horrible. There's another case, too, that I'm interested in. It's kind of a horse of a different color, if you will, and that is the Florida teacher, a female, who seduced an 11-year-old male student. The subject was a student of hers. Now, the quote that I'm interested in is the one I read from the boy.
Is this the music teacher in Florida who...
That's correct.
...who is said to have seduced, had sex with an 11-year-old? Is that right?
That is correct. But let's just, you know, watch what we say about this, the word seduced. There was a quote. The boy was told... asked, I think, did she hurt you? And he said, physically, no, mentally, yes. Isn't that amazing? Physically, no, mentally, yes. It's incredible.
Well, what's incredible about that?
Well, the fact that they would tell the boy to say something like that just to get the case in front of a DA. So you have to admire the guts it takes to ask a child to lie, even though in the end, those people are child abusers, too, and that's why we have recommended SB 1161 to the governor. Because
hold on. Are you telling me that the boy that was sexually assaulted by the woman in Florida?
Right.
When he said that she was she only hurt him mentally, not physically, he was lying?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
You know, I don't understand your question.
Why would that be a lie when he says that you hurt me mentally to the lady that seduced him?
He's a young man. What do you mean?
No, why do you think that he was told to lie and say, you hurt me?
Because he wasn't hurt.
Why?
This was a young boy with an older woman, and are you trying to tell me he didn't like it? See, one of the things you need to understand, Phil, is that a lot of these parents may be jealous of a child that has had, maybe a father jealous of a son who actually had sex with a teacher. It is a long-held fantasy. And what I'm trying to educate your audience to is the fact that it's time we quit making these kids feel guilty about enjoying having sex with an older woman. And it's time that we...
All right, to me, that's going over the line.
Well, you may think it's going over the line.
Well, look...
I have experience. Let me tell you about the experience of a guy, a young man, doing deliveries for a pharmacy in Northridge. He made a delivery to a home in the Devonshire area. A woman answered the door, much older than him. One thing led to another, and that boy became a man that day. You know who that kid was?
That was you?
That is exactly correct, me. Now, Phil, I will tell you,
What is SB 11623?
It would make it a criminal offense under the child abuse statutes for any parent to force a young man into feeling bad about having sex with an older woman.
And wait, well, all right. Let me give our phone number out here because...
This is difficult for you to accept because you don't have the practical experience. And you don't understand that men, boys and girls are made differently. Girls don't like sex. Boys do. And when you've got a mother saying, wasn't that terrible? And the kid's, yeah, I guess. You know, what? He doesn't want to hurt his mother's feelings.
All right, let me give the number out here. You had sex with an older woman when you were how old?
I was just about turned 13.
And it was a lady that you were delivering, groceries to?
I worked for a pharmacy. I was delivering, actually I was delivering some a prescription to her. And let me tell you...
And you liked it.
Let me ask you a question. What's not to like? I don't understand it.
Look, if the boy was manipulated by this woman, was, you know...
Well, if he was manipulated by this woman, we'll never know because he was told to say that he was manipulated by parents. And let me tell you who else encourages these young boys to say, oh, it's so terrible, I had sex with my teacher.
Are you encouraging this, Ted? Or
Phil, watch what you say. Just please watch what you say. No, I'm not encouraging it. I'm saying the reality exists. You have to remember who you're talking to. I'm Ted Bell. I built 3 restaurants here in the California area. I've got another 2 outside, the one in Hawaii, one in Washington. Remember who you're talking to. I'm Ted Bell. Don't you ever, ever intimate that I think child abuse is good.
I'm not saying that, man, but you said to me, this boy...
It's a boy having sex with a female teacher. It's not the same thing as a girl being forced to have sex with her uncle in a toilet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You know, Ted, I know you have the Ted Bell Foundation, and I know that you do a lot of work with the so-called... You do a lot of work with abused kids, and I'm not trying to denigrate...
Well, it feels like you were, sir.
Well, I'm not trying to denigrate the work that you're doing. How old were you when you say you were...
I was 13, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
How old was she?
I don't know. My mother and I saw her. Of course, my mother didn't know who she was, but we were at a church function. It was a clothing drive. I'd say she was in her early 60s. But some counselor, telling me... hey, Ted, that lady having sex with you was bad. I would have laughed right in her face.
Early 60s?
Yes, sir.
Jesus. I mean, isn't that a little...
Oh, well, Jesus. No. What's? Is there a problem?
Well, that's a little old, isn't it?
Well, Mr. Henry, you fall into a category now of people who it's difficult to understand. Is it good or is it bad that a young boy has sex with an older woman? Well, according to you, it's bad. But then when I do have sex with an older woman, then you say, boy, isn't she a little old? Could you pick one younger? Look, a bird in the hand is better than 2 in the bush. Have you ever heard that?
I want to ask you, were you seduced by this? You were seduced by this woman. How did it happen? Okay, what are the signs she wanted to have sex with you, a 12-year-old boy?
Well, at the time, it was very subtle. It was with me. I delivered the items to her home. She said she needed to go get her purse, and that the purse was in her bedroom. And so, right there, that's, you know, a clue. She says it's in the bedroom, so I followed her in there. And she's bending over to get her purse, and you can, you know, she's showing you everything. I mean, not by that.
Well, was she disrobed?
No, she had on clothes, but she's bent over, and, you know, you can well use your imagination. And, so you pick up the signals immediately, and I realized what she wanted, and so I went ahead and I did it. And that's all I wanted to say. See, a counselor, if a counselor had found out about that, she would have tried to get me to feel bad about it. But I was glad it was an older woman.
All right, you have a TED line, and tell me about the TED line. It's set up to offset these young men who don't want to tell their parents about it, is that it?
That is correct. Some young men who have had sex with an older woman, and they can't tell their mother, that's for sure, because their mother's going to have a conniption, and maybe they can't tell their father, because their father is so PW'd that he'll go along with whatever the mother says. You could call the TED line, and we'll give the number out here in a moment, and talk to one of our trained counselors to feel better about...
There's something very, very wrong.
Can I finish?
Yeah, but
I'm paying for the airtime. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
There's something... to to feel better about having a sexual relationship with an older woman. And I want to get back to you making that crack about the woman I slept with being 63. So what?
I guess I got an image in my head of summer of 42. You know, like if you're a young guy and you meet maybe she's 30 or something.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, Phil? We can't all be lovers like you.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I'm not saying anything. Forget I even said it.
Okay, I will. Can I forget you said it?
Yes, please.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I'll forget you said it, Phil, even though you broadcast it across a radio station in the Los Angeles area and elsewhere that cumes more audience than any other radio station in the world. But yeah, I'll forget you said it.
God! Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very explosive subject. This man is claiming that a underage boy having sex with a woman, a mature woman, is not a child abuse. It's actually something the boy enjoys, but he's trained to say it was bad by jealous parents and prudish mothers. So young boys who have sex with their female teachers actually enjoy it, but they're made to feel guilty about it. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. There's also a TED line where boys who've had sex with their teacher can call up and talk about how great it was. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tad's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Everybody, come on down to Tad's of Beverly Hills and enjoy a great steak. You know, when I...
Tad's, we want to put on
like four times.
Well, it's a Ted Bell from Ted's at Beverly Hills Steakhouse on the line with us. We're talking about a young boy in Florida who was allegedly seduced by a 49-year-old music teacher, and you say that that's a positive thing. And
well, Phil, look, you are acting as if it's not positive because you have a lot of female listeners, and I understand.
I'm not so sure it is a positive thing. I don't see how, for instance, an older woman of 49 or 50 having sex with a boy who may become very emotionally attached, and she's simply using him for sex. I don't see how that's good for the kid.
Well, let me now that you've given me the fantasy, let me tell you what the reality is. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you ever have sex with a woman that was, when you were a kid?
No, sir, I didn't.
All right, well, then let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. I was 13. She was 63. It was like fireworks were going off. It was one of the most tender and beautiful moments of my life. And if someone were to come to me and say, oh, hi, Ted, you're 12 and you had sex with a real... Can I be graphic?
I'd rather that you keep this... I mean, I have families listening.
All right, a real piece of tail there. Is that okay for you?
Yes, that's fine. And I don't appreciate the sarcasm.
Phil, what I'm saying is if somebody had come to me and said, you just had sex with a real great piece of tail, but it's bad for you, and I'd like you to say it was bad, I guess if I'm a kid, I have to do what the adults tell me to do.
When that boy was asked, did she hurt you? He said physically no, mentally yes.
He was told to say that.
By who?
I think by his parents. And most... probably by the mother, because those are the ones that can't stand it. Mothers can't stand it when their sons go off and have a little bit of fun, because they want their sons not to be like their fathers. You see, when you marry an animal, and he fathers your children, and you regret the day you ever met him, that's one thing. But once the boy grows up and turns into a replica of his father, then she really goes ape. And you've never seen a woman go ape the way they go ape when they realize that the son they had is exactly like the husband they wish they never married.
Oh, my God, what a negative view of life.
Excuse me, my friend, a realistic view of life. Remember who you're talking to. My name is Ted Bell. I built one of the largest steakhouses in the...
I understand what you've done, and I appreciate all of your business success. Please don't talk to me like I'm one of your students. Here is...
I'm not, Phil, but you got a lot to learn.
All right, here is Kathleen. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I am driving right now, and I am in absolute disbelief. I am in awe. I think that this gentleman, and I'm sorry, I know you've repeated your name several times, but, you know, unfortunately, it just doesn't quite make a positive enough impact for me to recall what it is.
Well, and, this is not surprising. Think, you're a female. You don't understand what I'm talking about.
You're sick. You obviously have issues. You've been abused. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
How do you figure I've been abused? Show me where I was abused.
The comment you made that really stuck with me in reference to boys liking this and their mothers telling them, when Phil Henry asked you why, how do you know this, he said that you think that these mothers coach their children.
Well, I think it's very obvious,
yeah, I think you're totally uneducated.
Well,
I think you're absolutely sarcastic.
Ma'am, everyone
arrogant.
Knows.
I don't know who eats at your restaurant. I will never eat there, and nobody I know will ever eat there.
Now you're telling your friends what to do? Is that the relationship you have with them?
You know, my friends will do exactly what they please, but
well,
I just think that
once
you
they
are
put their meat,
a disgrace.
They get their lips wrapped around Ted's of Beverly Hills meat, they're going to love it. And I would say to you, Kathleen,
you are pathetic.
How do you figure?
Excuse me, but where did you attend school?
I went to Garfield High School in Los Angeles, California.
Uh-huh, precisely.
Oh, I see. Too Jewish for
you're
you?
You're real educated.
It? Too Jewish for you, is that it? And
Wait a minute, folks. This is getting personal, okay? I want to keep this...
I'm trying to, Phil.
Well, you guys are going back and forth. I want to ask...
I apologize. I'm shaking because of what I'm hearing on the radio station.
Knows.
And I know you state that Phil Henry has female listeners. Honestly, I turned on the radio to listen to traffic.
I lived out every teenager's dream when I was 13.
You're sick.
You're a woman. How would you know? Hey, Mr. Henry, tell her.
What do you mean, Henry, tell her?
Tell her.
Well, I won't be called Henry, okay?
Tell her.
Tell her what?
Tell her the reality of being a pubescent boy in America. You look at Marilyn Monroe when you were growing up. When I was growing up, it was Farrah Fawcett.
With a woman who is 50 years your senior?
Let me tell you what. You've heard the phrase, chrome off a trailer hitch?
God, you're something.
You're disgusting.
You're absolutely disgusting.
Well, if I'm disgusting, I don't know why you're laughing. I would rather have sex as a young man with an older woman than grow up to be 25 or 26.
A young man with an 18-year-old. You know, I mean,
But that's illegal.
17-year-old, but 63 years old. And you're saying that
I would rather have sex with an older woman, ma'am, than have to grow up to be 26 and marry some ball breaker.
You shouldn't even be discussing this topic on the air.
And marry some ball breaker who is going to make me nothing but miserable, like I did, to my everlasting regret.
Oh, that's really nice. I happen to know your wife, Marcy. I'm sure she's going to appreciate hearing that.
She knows the truth.
All right, listen, thank you.
This 62-year-old woman could do things my wife can't even dream about.
I feel really bad for you.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Young boys having sex with older women, is it really sexual abuse or is it living out every kid's dream? It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
grateful that they were able to get those two little girls back and that guy shot himself. And because I'm grateful for all of that, why don't you come to my restaurant and eat my steaks?
Tess, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
This portion of the Phil Henry Show is brought to you by...
What does that mean?
I've got a problem with the kind of advertising.
Well, you've had a problem, Mr. Henry, with me since the moment I came on your program, and the reason for that is that you disagree vehemently with my stand on underage sexual relations with older women. Now,
there's an organization called NAMBLA, National Association of Man-Boy Love. There's all kinds of perverts who try to legitimize themselves with foundations.
Is that what you're calling me, a pervert?
And I'm saying that when you were a 12-year-old boy and you had sex with a 63-year-old woman and you say the fireworks went off and it was the greatest thing, and you said to that woman, chrome off a trailer hitch, I'm saying that you were, yes, sir, abused.
Well, guess what? That's the words of a man who never had the opportunity to actually haul the ashes of a teacher of his.
You come off sounding like you're in a locker room. Remember that you're talking to an audience that has a few women in it, okay?
Phil, I apologize, but my experience with that 63-year-old woman was so fantastic when I was 12 that I would get my two friends, a kid by the name of Jimmy Curtis and Barry Fitzjames, and we'd ride our bikes down to the local craft store and watch those older women bend over and pick up their yarn off the bottom shelf and do all that stuff. And I said, you gotta get a load of this. And the kids would say, you know, how do I get me some of that? I said, I don't know, but get a job at a pharmacy or something. I mean, this is the way young men think.
And we're talking about a real story, a boy who is alleged to have been abused by a teacher in Florida, a female music teacher of 49. 1-800-449-8686. Natalie, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I'm a teacher, have been for 17 years, and I don't think it's okay for teachers to have sex with their students or any younger kids.
Have you ever thought about it, though?
Heck no. Why would I?
Well, you know, there might be a kid in the class who's good-looking, and you're having problems with your husband. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Happily?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What do you teach?
I teach English and math.
And you don't think it's okay? All right. Well, thanks so much for calling. Let's get another opinion. Should you have sex?
No. You know what? I've taught for 17
well,
years. I've had over 250 students.
You've had sex
you know,
with
they
what?
Trust
she
me.
Didn't have sex with anybody. She's had over
yeah.
250 students.
250
I've had over 250 male students in my classrooms. And their parents trust me. More than that, the students trust me. If I was to have sex with one of them, it's not only wrong in my opinion, but I broke a trust.
Well, you have to understand something, Natalie. My name's Ted Bell. I know you've probably never heard of me, but you will. I'm one of the top businessmen in America.
Doesn't matter if he was president of the United States. He also had sex and was fine with that, too.
I can assure you that you are the sex fantasy of many of your male students. When you walk in, what's your last name? Well, I won't ask you, but let's say they call you Miss Natalie or Mrs. Natalie. And they say, man, did you get a load of Mrs. Natalie today? She's wearing that knit skirt again. Holy sweet Jesus, she'd make a bishop break a stained glass window. And this kind of talk, see? And so anyway...
What a disrespectful conversation you're having with this lady. She's a teacher, for God's sake.
No, you know what? He's just
well,
dead. And
but
the
she
whole
knows
thing
that.
Is, no, wait.
You know that, don't
you? Know
you?
What? No, wait.
No, aren't there days
the
that you walk into
you
the classroom with
really,
a low-cut blouse?
Really, really, really aggressive with your opinion. But as soon as somebody else states it, you ride over the top of them.
Aren't there days you walk into that classroom wearing an extra tight dress just so you can really drive the kids nuts? Yes
well,
or no?
You know, right.
What are you going to say?
You have
idiot?
A problem, sir, and I think you need help.
When one of your male students comes into your class with a great Sean...
You know what?
Sean
I've had male students have crushes on me. I think it's cute, and I make sure that
cute?
I don't... You know what?
Cute?
I think it's cute, as in pat them on the head, puppy dog. Please.
Really? And if they
because...
go home and blow their brains out because you patted them on the head, and you didn't get
wrong.
That deep, long tonsil inspection, then what...
Are you out of your mind, Belle? Are you
no,
out of your
you
mind?
No, you are. I can't believe
no, you're
on the air... promoting
about,
sex between
I'm not promoting
and
it, I'm
kids.
Saying it. Why make a boy feel guilty about it when for the first time in his life the sexual fantasy
you know
of most preachy veggie
about
boys...
It is the teacher.
Who?
The teacher. She's sick. That is sick and
you
loud.
Got kids sitting in the front row of that classroom sweating. I mean, it's just beating up on their forehead watching you as you walk around with the pointer. In 1892, this happened and that happened. with the tight dress and the spike heels. I know all about it.
You know something? I'm going to let you go, Natalie.
Oh, sure. Let her go.
Thank you.
Let her go into class tomorrow and drive another kid nuts. I bet your kids sing I'm Hot for Teacher in the halls after you dismiss them, don't they?
I can't believe you're a businessman.
I got it bad.
You do not
got
have
it bad.
Business for
got
with
it
people.
Bad.
Goodbye.
Ooh, I'm hot for teacher.
Hey, Belle, you need a psychiatrist more than anything else. Not a restaurant, not a TED line, not a TED Bell Foundation. You need a psychiatrist because you're insane.
Why?
I got it bad for teacher, and the way you sang it, you carry a tune, man, like I can carry a 15 tons of bricks. Like, not at all.
Well, it hurts. You can knock me in a lot of ways, but knocking my singing, man. Woo! That hurts. Natalie, you look out at those 28 young men in your class and visualize a big Natalie boy sandwich. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's great. Let's go over here to Jane. Jane, hi. Jane? Oh, Janae, I'm sorry, Janae.
Hi, Mr. Henry, how
yes,
are you?
Very good, ma'am, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Here's a winner.
You know something, you want to, excuse me, Janae, Mr. Bell, have some respect or I'm hanging up.
Sorry.
I listen to your show every night, I really enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, Mr. Bell, and I know he owns a lot of things, and he's got up and coming and all
of
that.
I have a lot of things, yeah.
But he said he went to Garfield High School. Is
yes,
that correct?
Yes, I did. I graduated in 1974.
Well, sir, so did I.
You graduated in
yes,
1874, not 1974.
No. Have been. Anything like what you're trying
you sure
to convince
1774.
Mr. Henry's audience of that happened, that teacher would have been taken to court.
It wasn't a teacher. It was an old lady who lived at the end of the lane.
Well,
under
see, that's
a big
not what
oak
you
tree.
Said in the beginning,
I
sir.
I did, but because you graduated in 1874
no.
from Garfield High, you don't remember things.
No, sir.
Are you
no.
the woman that I had sex with? Because I could swear you, your teeth move around in your head the same way.
You know, you're a rude prick. I'm going to hang up on you.
Did you just call me the P word?
Yes, I did.
Well, you dirty...
Sorry about that, Johnny.
You
or
know,
Jane.
This, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
It's very sad when you have a guest.
Can you get my commercial in at least?
This one is.
I know.
Very sad.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody, to celebrate the landing on Mars of that spaceship that takes all those pictures, what a proud day for America. Come to my restaurant and eat my steak and drink my booze and pay for it.
Tess, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
I got it bad, got it bad, got it bad. Ouch! I'm hot for teacher.
Get out of here. What a sick, twisted bastard. All you young guys out there, I want to just say this to you. If you're between the ages of, say, 12 and 17, you go to high school and Miss So-and-so or such-and-such is really hot, comes in wearing the tight-knit dress or whatever, comes in looking, you know, all that and all this here, do yourselves a favor. Don't have sex with her. As much as she wants you to, and as much as you've made plans for the two of you to get out of town to San Ysidro Ranch for the weekend, cancel the reservations. This has been a public service statement from The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line, naked.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm Ted Bell. Come to Ted's in Beverly Hills. Have yourself a slow roasted prime rib with a Ted. Oh, yeah. I'll be holding forth in the lounge there in the Ted Lounge. And we did a little song like this. Ooh, have you heard the news? I got a...
Shut up! God! What are you, man? Are you, you know, just you better thank your lucky stars you ain't David Lee Roth.
No, I wouldn't want to look that bad.
Not now you wouldn't. Here is Josh. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, this is Josh. Am I on?
Yes, sir, you're hung.
Well, this is Josh. Josh Karen is my last name. I just graduated. I'm 18 years old from high school.
This is Ted Bell. I want to ask, is that your real name, or are you saying that to embarrass a friend of yours?
Oh, well, you know, whatever makes you a fantasy, basically.
Well, no, I want to make sure that we're not slandering a third party by you using their name and coming up and saying some things that may embarrass them. That's all I'm trying to say.
Oh,
you understand, my name is Ted Bell. I've done a lot of business in this town.
Yeah.
And I like to keep my relationship squeaky clean.
Yeah, definitely. That's fine. But I just wanted to say I graduated high school recently, and I'm a middle to upper class student, as I'm sure you were yourself when you were in high school.
Uh-huh.
And as far as your opinions on tonight, I mean, I just think it's kind of an embarrassment the way you're coming across. I've heard your side of the story, and I mean, basically, it's just... what are you thinking? Let me put it this way.
I'd like to point you to a song from 1984.
There's plenty of songs and movies, but I'm trying to talk about today, 2004, and the opinions of students that are actually sitting at those desks tomorrow morning.
Now, that's a good point, Josh.
Basically, let me just say this. I grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood, and that really doesn't matter, but... What we did is we had good-looking teachers, that's for sure. And, you know, it was kind of always a joke between me and my friends and people who weren't friends but were acquaintances that I knew. And it was always kind of a joke, Miss Smith is looking kind of good today. But in reality...
But you weren't born in 1984 yet. You're too young. You're too young to understand what I'm trying to say.
Possibly. I mean, I'm not...
The song Hot for Teacher is from 1984. Yeah?
I've had the opportunity to be in the position where you were with an older woman, so I can understand that. I can relate to that.
She was her 70th birthday was coming up. I remember we celebrated.
Oh, now she's 69 or 70? Good Lord.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting. I mean...
Disgusting? Okay. I'll tell you what, friend.
Let me just say this. The most overall opinion of the students, you know, from 9th to 12th grade high school, they're basically thinking it's disgusting to be in the relationship with their teacher. Most of their teachers are not, you know, perfect people that we would, you know, think to be ourselves, especially sexually.
Even if she gob-coned.
Oh, will you come on?
No, seriously. Huh? Josh, you're a virgin, aren't you? I can tell.
Well, you know, you have your opinion, but it's...
Well, come on, man.
It really doesn't matter.
You're going to love
If you're a good-looking young man, you don't need to go out and try to have sex with 60-year-old women.
It's the best I could do. Look, you got to understand, when she comes walking out with that butt that looks...
Oh, come on, man. I got a guy on the line here who's expressing some... What is this that I'm listening to?
This is going to be... I'll be on stage this weekend in the Ted Lounge.
There's no positive.
Well, 70s, unless you call...
You can't call that positive in any way.
You don't think it's a positive?
Happens,
you're walking out of there with your eyes sunk back in your head about 6 inches because the trailer hitch wasn't...
Okay, I got the trailer hitch.
I mean, you might be able to sometimes have a situation where that works out, but in reality, you're talking about it like it's an everyday thing, and it's disgusting. And anyone who's listening on the air that likes your show is thinking it's disgusting, too.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your wife's kid.
Okay, friend, let me just tell you this. You get a piece of a 63-year-old ass, and you'll never go back. Guaranteed.
Well,
you know, hang up on him.
I'm going to have to get a lot of different 63-year-olds because I'll tell you this much, they're not going to be around much longer yet.
You better get working on it. Exactly. You better get humping, if you'll pardon the expression.
Will you turn that garbage off, please? I got it bad for teacher. Hey, Ted, what is it with you? Hey, folks, we're really glad we landed on Mars, and in celebration of that, come into my restaurant and eat my steaks.
wrong with that?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The story, anyway, is out of Florida, and if you want to throw up, you can read it. It's on just about every website. Phil Henry Show, and don't forget, tomorrow on Friday the 9th, it'll be our third annual webcast. Now, when I make a big deal out of our webcast, it's because we don't do them every day. We don't have any Phil Cam. I ain't got no... I don't have any daily televising of this show onto our website. We just don't do that because I don't want to. It's none of your business what goes on in here. You enjoy it out there in Radio Land. But every now and again, like once a year, we put it on the web and we televise to all concerned. And you can watch our webcast for $6.95. You can see how we do our show, how we execute it, and execute's the operative word too, how we literally bury it, how we shoot it, how we just blow its brains out night in and night out. And then you can check it out on the webcast and as well see our first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards, which we will be celebrating tomorrow from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, California. Now get a load of that. We'll be there with some of the great stars in film. Harrison Ford. Who else? Julia Roberts. Jane Seymour. We've got everybody have committed. Steven Spielberg has committed to be on the show tomorrow and help us give out the Dumbass of the Year Award. We are also extremely excited for the very first time and that I can think that this guy would consent to be on anybody's radio show, Brad Pitt. Ryan Seacrest had called and said, will you please do my show? And he said, are you kidding me, you punk? I'm doing Henry's show. So that's great. And they're all going to be here tomorrow to give out the first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards. You can vote, by the way, online and determine who will win the various Dumbass of the Year Awards by going to www.philhenryshow.com. And I tell you what, why don't we just have a little theme music for that? Yeah, that's the first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards coming tomorrow. Okay, so check that out online at www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up on our program, Kobe Bryant got booed in Denver the other night. And by the way, what is this whole thing? You know, going to a sporting event is not the way it used to be in a lot of ways. But one of the things that I used to enjoy thoroughly when I went to sporting events, when I actually gave my money to those people, I loved to scream, to yell, to swear, and to get drunk. Yes, that's right. And I saw that behavior when I was a kid, and it didn't scar me for life. All of a sudden, a guy can't even boo at a sporting event. Rosie O'Donnell... You know what, Rosie, and we're going to point this out next hour, even lesbians hate you now. Even lesbians are getting tired of you and your fat ass. All coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibition.
The Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Well, about 90 minutes ago, the law enforcement of a couple of states, at least, apprehended Jerry Williams Jones. This was a huge Amber Alert today. I don't know whether you know this or not, but this is a real pile of garbage that apparently murdered some four human beings, including an infant, before he abducted three little girls, and it was a race against time. The guy's a psycho and was armed, and in point of fact, thank God, shot himself. I'll tell you one thing, though. First of all, I want to congratulate cops. This is where they really, you know, this is where they get their big publicity, right? But every day, these guys are out there doing something that may be saving somebody's life. But every now and again, you get a story like this. This is where they get all the ink. Well, at least, you know, they're getting a little bit of ink. This is a fantastic job these guys did. This is a tremendous job these guys did. This guy is a psycho case. This guy was a real... I mean, you talk about a disaster waiting to happen. This clown murdered the parents of his ex-wife. They were found shot to death in one home in Georgia, someplace north of Atlanta. In another house, authorities found his former sister-in-law shot to death. And the 10-month-old daughter, that he had had with this woman was strangled, her own father. So this is a dog that you got to take and shoot. But unfortunately, he had three little girls with him. So now what do you do? A high-speed chase, and when I say high-speed, I don't know if it's high-speed, but a chase did ensue along Interstate 75 near the Tennessee border. And if you've been down 75 near the Tennessee border, as I have many times, this is kind of hilly and windy country there as it goes through Chattanooga on its way into northern Georgia and then on down into Atlanta. And I believe it involved elements of not only Tennessee State Patrol, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and the Georgia State Patrol. They did what was called, I'm trying to remember the term, but a maneuver that state troopers know to cause a pursuant, a vehicle being pursued. It's called a pit maneuver. And it causes the vehicle they're pursuing to spin. And in so doing, the guy hit a tree. And as the police approached, he pulled a gun out and tried to blow his own brains out, which he was not successful. So that's the only bad news in the entire operation. The little girls are fine. Now, how often do you hear a story like this? See, this is a guy, this is a good ending to what could have been a major disaster. Because this is one of these guys, you know, they come along every few weeks. Another guy that can't handle the fact that his wife said, get out. And he's going to make that bitch pay. And this and that and this and that. Is it any wonder on this show that I have enthusiastically, you know, endorsed? I'm not some guy that runs around saying, I have this kind of gun, and I have that kind of gun, and I just think it's really neat. I'm telling you, in the world we live in today, you need a gun. And if you're a woman, if you're a female, may I suggest a shotgun with a nice spray radius so that anything comes through your front door, it'll take its freaking face off. And I don't care how big and fat and wide it is. In other words, here are women who make the mistake of marrying these psychotic bastards. I mean, if you take a look at this guy's picture, he looks like about 100 miles a dumbass. Dangerous and dumb. Dumb and violent, man. It doesn't get any worse than that. And she married this guy, and I ain't saying, well, you married her, I guess you deserve what you get. Oh, I understand people make mistakes, but don't make the same mistake twice. You're gonna marry a guy like that, and then he won't leave her alone. He's stalking her. He's calling her. He doesn't dig the fact that she's got a boyfriend in Oregon. And quite frankly, if you were gonna ask me the same question, I'd probably say the same thing. I don't dig it either. What the hell, what do you mean you got a boyfriend in Oregon? You live in Georgia, baby. And you got some kids that you're responsible for. Start getting real, okay? Now, I'm seeing the video now. The little kids are being taken out of the car, so they were fine. One of the girls ran out of the car to the police officers that were on the scene. And that's when brain surgeon here tried to do a little brain operation on himself. And as I said, unfortunately, he's still alive. Because if you think you're going to find anything interesting out of this guy, you're dreaming. I tell you, if he survives the shooting, he's going to sit there in a courtroom, and if he's got even 14 ounces of an IQ, he'll probably say something in a very droning, monotone voice. I'd like to apologize. I didn't know what I was doing. I was out of my head. I was on drugs that day. And it'll all be a very unsatisfactory and very expensive and time-consuming operation and exercise in making another attorney rich, famous, well-known, and eventually on the Fox News channel as an analyst for the upcoming Kobe trial. That's what's going to happen. See, it's way better. These guys try to blow their brains out, and the only problem was that when he did shoot himself, the blood got on the little girl in the back seat, and the police didn't know at the time. Is she hurt? Is she not? They didn't know. But apparently the poor little thing was sitting back there, and this guy tries to kill himself, and of course he doesn't give a crap if his brain matter goes all over the street, all over the kid, whatever. It got all over that poor little girl, and they grabbed her, and they found, you know, they checked her out. She's okay. Let me tell you something, ladies. I don't get it either. I know a lot of you. I don't understand these guys that can't leave women alone. I don't get it. You guys are a particular brand of human being that are weak and stupid. And that's why I heartily endorse any and all of the women within my listening audience, buy a gun. Don't take karate. Don't take taekwondo. Don't learn self-defense maneuvers. I got a self-defense maneuver for you. Want one? Here's a self-defense maneuver. A Bic ballpoint pen stuck through the knuckles of a hand, and you stick it right in his eye. There's your self-defense maneuver. And I guarantee you, he'll be blinded. He won't have any interest in raping you. He'll be trying to find his eyeball on the garage floor. That's what he'll be looking for. There's your self-defense maneuver. Other than that, get a gun. Because if some guy like this is bugging you, okay, and, you know, as hardworking as the cops are, and that's why I went out of my way to say, good job, guys, they can't protect you. There's no court in the world that can protect you. We found this out. Restraining orders are a joke. They can't do anything with the stalking laws. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I think personally that if you're in a state where there is a stalking law, or let's say the guy does come within the prescribed area that the court has announced. In other words, he can't come within so many hundred yards, all right? And he does, call up some guy you know, maybe five or six different guys that you know, and have them come over with baseball bats and start taking out the windshield and the headlights and the rearview mirror. He won't park his freaking car anywhere near your house after that. But that's the only way you deal with these guys. Yeah, you getting my drift? See, the only way you can deal with them is violently. Violently, violently, violently. The only way you deal with a mad dog is you put a bullet through it. And I'm telling you, if you think any other way, you are destined to, not come back alive from an encounter with one of these guys. That's why I believe our mission in Iraq is so similar. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, do I have the Teds of Beverly Hills? Notice the segue. I'm telling you right now, that guy is a madman. That's why Teds of Beverly Hills is a great place to have a steak. All right. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow is our webcast. $6.95, baby. You can watch us do our show. How about that, huh?
Oh, what's the big deal, man? I can see anybody's show on C-SPAN.
Okay. Whatever you say. $6.95, you can watch us do our show. Also, we're going to have our Dumbass of the Year Awards live from the Kodak Theater, starring Dick Clark and Hervé Villachez, or one of them cats. Also, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for a walk down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show, a portion of our program that we devote to requests from our audience for classic comedy bits from years gone by. You'll notice Karen is wearing the low back heel with This one comes from Will. He's some hillbilly, and he says, Phil, I'm one of your single, fat, quadruple X-wearing last woman I kissed was my mom. Janice, order extra yardage. We've got another hillbilly butterhog offering a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt again. Listeners. Jesus. Well, first of all, dude, a hillbilly butterhog's a chick. So I don't know what's that, you know, where you're going with that. But anyway, he says, I'm an avid fan of your show, even though I can't pick up your show here in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I can manage to scrape off the pounds of Cheetos off my never-ending porpoise flaps and lift my fat ass off the couch via loading dock cranes. I sit down, but anyway, dude, what do you want us to play? He said, Phil, there's nothing that would make my fat mug grin more than to hear Dr. Sadler talk about how the Nazi concentration camp tactics of the diaper companies have killed his comfortable cotton baby garments that he proudly called ass wrappers. Anyway, we dug through the archives for this one, Will. It's from February of 2001, when the world was still quite different. Here it is, Dr. Sadler's ass wrappers.
Hi, I have
two comments. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
One of them is, how can you refer to a diaper service?
You gave your number.
Something to do with ass when you're talking about a child.
Well, first of all, this is you talk about adults. The children
no,
are not bringing
but
their
I don't
diapers.
Need your products. My kids would, and I would never buy something that referred to as ass.
their children.
No,
and second of all, I have four kids.
Sandwich.
Are you going to listen or are you going to shut me off like you have everyone else?
I'm allowed to comment on it.
No, you've been running your mouth. Let the lady talk.
I have four kids, and every one of my kids has pulled off their Pampers. Every single one of them.
They hate them. Don't you get it?
No, I get it that they're curious, and that's why the little kids walk out in the snow. They're kids.
But they walked out of the snow to kill themselves? They can't stand the Pampers.
Have you never been around kids? Do you not know that kids get into everything?
Oh, see, I got it. 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's take a stroll out in the snow. Are you...
Well, apparently the mom was asleep, so she had no supervision. But, you know, my kids get into everything. That's why they have child-proof locks for cabinets.
You know, lady, your children may be at risk. You have just told me that they pulled their Pampers off, that they live in the snow.
Because they're kids. I didn't say my kids go in the snow.
Where are you going?
I'm
going
to call Chopper's episode.
Oh, now, wait a second.
Okay, then.
Wait a minute.
Whatever.
She just said the kids are pulling their underwear off in the snow.
I didn't say that. If you would shut your trap and listen for 2 seconds, you would have heard what I said. What I said was, my kids are able to pull their diapers off. It does not take a genius. And I also said that kids are curious. That's why they have childproof locks on things. Have you never been around a kid?
What are they curious about? They're pulling the Pampers off to look at what, their wiener? They've seen that a million times.
It's called curiosity. Kids get into everything, the same reason that they pull their socks off when you put socks on them, or they take a hat off when you put a hat on them.
The only thing that sucks around here is you and your attitude. And
she said socks.
Scare me that people would take
Ma'am,
their kids to see you.
The only business that, you know, the only business that my family diaper service, the only business we get lately are adult cloth diapers. And 35-year-old men. Isn't that great?
You scare me.
What
hey,
do I
knowing,
say? Because I'm trying to save people's lives. I'm trying to save the ecology. I'm trying to save the environment.
Oh.
Shut up. You're
really?
Just running your mouth.
I want to also address the idea that Sandler's ass wraps, which she doesn't like the name of that.
No.
Well,
could you plug your company one more time, please? I don't think there's anybody in this country that hasn't heard the name ass now.
I think the lady is making a very good point. A diaper service for babies, and it's called... It's called Sandler's Ass Wraps.
That's right.
Nice name.
That's the
really?
Most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life.
I'll say it again. Are the babies bringing their own diapers in?
No.
Then how about a couple of laughs for the book for mom and dad?
It doesn't matter. You don't say the F word when referring to something about kids.
Sure do.
The same thing. Well, then you know what? You are a sick man. You are very sick. And
right.
I can't believe that anybody would take their kids to see you as a doctor.
As in my two effing kids cost me too much money to send to college.
You
all right.
Sick man.
You know, Catherine, it's a good thing I don't know where you live, or I would have had Child Protective Services come over there.
Because my kids are curious. You know what? My kids are just like every other kid in this world.
But, so you're telling me you never called your kids little effers?
No, I never have.
Well, you are.
Because I'm a good parent. I'm a good parent.
And what division of Pampers do you work in?
Now, wait a second.
No, she obviously works
you
for
see?
Pampers. You work for Pampers, don't you? You work for the blood-sucking Nazis.
No, for your information, you idiot, I'm a paramedic.
A paramedic?
Yes.
And you know kids are trying to whip those diapers off.
Oh, whatever.
And you never said, look at this little episode.
They're doing everything they can to crawl away from your ass wraps.
Mr. Henry, thank you very much.
Well, that was sweet. That was sweet. That was from February 2001 when Dr. Jim Sadler was on, proudly touting his diaper service, Sadler's Ass Wraps. Far out. Thanks for the request. That's a memory lane requested by Will out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, I guess, or someplace. And certainly we love it when people bring up old bits. We like to play them. You send us an email, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. One of the other things I just personally get a kick out of, I'm not campaigning for it, it's just started. People have written with their favorite lines from the show. And some of these are just, like, are killing me, man. And somebody, like the other day, the line that Bobby Dooley expressed at a show one day, Jesus took 4 nails and didn't say a peep? Oh, my God! And the other line, as we've often mentioned, all it takes is the courage to say, get in there and make me some bean dip. That's a good one. Daddy, the tuna is hot. And how about that? How about this one? It's a euphemism for a whore when you say, I sold my banjo to a... What was it? I sold my... Yeah, I gave him, when you say I gave my daddy's coat to a fat banjo player, that means you're whoring yourself. You're selling yourself on the corner. Oh, my God. So those are always fun to read, too. I got our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. I do want to, again, mention our webcast for tomorrow, because it's everybody always gets these things at the last minute. And it'll be repeated as well on demand. You'll be able to see us perform our show. We'll have our Dumbass of the Year Awards tomorrow for the year 2003. Just go to www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Later on in our show, we'll be having a news that even pro football players can understand with Bud Dickman. There was a Black Hawk crash in Iraq, and this is really interesting. A Black Hawk helicopter that was a medical evacuation helicopter was shot down in Iraq. That is, if you want to talk about a violation of the Geneva Convention, that is about as blatant a war crime. War crime. You understand what I'm saying? War crime as you'll ever hear about. And are we hearing anything about that? No. You want to know why? Because they were Americans that died. Who cares about that? You see, the only reason why anybody who was against the war in Iraq, whether it's our fine friends here in Hollywood, the dumbasses out in middle America, the dumbasses back east, or whoever these simple-minded clowns are, the only reason why they're interested in dead bodies in Iraq is that it further promotes their I hate Bush agenda, which I ain't a big fan of George Bush, but for God's sake, I'm an honest man. Are there any honest people left in this country? Anybody left that's got any ounce of honesty at all? You know, I didn't vote for the guy. I'm not a Republican, but I'm not a dishonest. I'm not a backstabbing, dishonest opportunist. I can see where people do good things, even though they may not be in my political party. The only reason why you cats that are against this whole war on terror keep talking about it the way you do is because you hate George Bush. You don't care about dead Iraqis any more than you care about dead Americans, dead Palestinians, nothing. You just want to sit around and feel good at a coffee klatch someplace, man. You want to sit around and feel, you know, proud of yourself that you're like so morally superior. You're nothing but you're the same old news, man, just a different generation. So a Black Hawk helicopter gets shot down in Iraq. American soldiers that were on a medical evacuation operation are killed, murdered, and no big deal, right? It's all our fault, right? Sometimes I just want to turn gay. Bye.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, pick up a copy of our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, by going to www.philhenryshow.com or buy it online at 877-616-7445. Kobe Bryant booed in Denver. The crowd said he was guilty, guilty. They chanted it during the third quarter. He got all upset. He was guilty of a couple of hard fouls, and the whole thing just blows. A Nuggets record crowd of 19,739 started booing Bryant during the introductions and continued every time he touched the ball. A chant of guilty, guilty rang out midway through the third quarter. That's refreshing, isn't it? I find it very refreshing, given the tidal wave of apologists that this guy has amassed since his indiscretion. Thousands, millions crawling out of every crack, every crevice, out from every refrigerator to talk about how poor old Kobe is holding up under all of this terrible scrutiny. And we're just not worried enough about him. We have to worry a little more about him. Is he getting enough food? Is he eating his Maldo meal? Is he having his vegetables? Kobe Bryant this and Kobe Bryant that. You know, I said at the top of the show, there was a time you could stand up in a ballpark and scream and yell and get drunk and shout, and guess what? It was okay. And I've been going to ball games since I was five. I mean, I've got, there's actual videotape or home movies somewhere of me sitting at the Coliseum watching a Dodger game. Now, brother, that's old. That's 58, I think. I was there with my dad. I didn't know what I was, whether I was at a baseball game or I was watching somebody mow a lawn. I was so young, all I knew, I was in this big place and it was hot and my dad was giving me beer and it was great. I've been to all kinds of ball games. I've seen all kinds of behavior, and especially as a young person, and I was never traumatized by that. Look, traumatized is when your mother is beaten up by your father, when you're sexually abused. Traumatized is when you're betrayed by people that you love. Traumatized is not being at a ballpark and hearing some guy go, kill the ump. Kids can handle that. Kids can handle it fine. They think it's funny. They think it's cute. Maybe they emulate the behavior and maybe they don't. At the ballpark, maybe they do. When they go out to the real world, people behave the way they are raised to behave. Not because they went to a baseball game and they heard some guy say, stick it up your you-know-what, Kobe, you guilty rapist, you. And that's the truth. You can take it for what it is, but it happens to be the truth. I was at a football game 3 or 4 years ago. It was a college game. I was over at a very small college up here where I live in Thousand Oaks. And the quarterback made a bonehead play, and I'm sitting there with about, it's a very small ball game, maybe 10,000 people. The guy behind me goes, get him out of there! Get him out of there and get Johnson in! That guy stinks! And for the very first time in my life, for the very first time in the history of my life, I actually heard this. I heard a woman say, you know, they work really hard all week in practice and throwing the ball, and I don't think it's right when they come here to hear you say that. And this guy and I, we turned away and looked, what are you? I looked at her like she was a strange new creature from another planet. Like, how'd you land on Earth? Do you know where you are? Don't you know where you are? Now, when you're at a high school game, a little league game, I understand. You have to show sportsmanship because the kids on the field are the children of the people in the stands. This is a whole different thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about a pro game. Because I listen to some of these guys in sports talk saying, boy, what a real classless bunch of slobs there in Denver, huh? In Los Angeles, we call anybody classless or Bush League, anyone who shows any emotion at all at a ball game. That's what we call Bush League. Here in L.A., we sit on our thumbs. We kind of stare around looking stupid with our sunglasses on and kind of look up at the lights. And because half the time it's a photo op that some agent sent them out there, you know, or whatever. In L.A., unless you're a cadre of... In the city of Los Angeles, we probably have a total of 100,000 hardcore sports fans. Total. 100,000. I'm not talking about going to the sports bar. I'm talking about going out to a ball game. At least one game a year. No more than 100,000 in the city of L.A. that go to, I'm telling you. And we sit there and we stare with a big, stupid, blank stare. We don't know what the hell it is we're looking at half the time. And by the seventh inning, we're gone. And all of those things, we have every right in the world to do that. We have every right in the world to do that. But we don't have any right to call a town Bush League because they actually do have some emotion and they actually, like, you know, get into it, man. I was at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin 3-4 weeks ago. I couldn't believe it. I'd never in my life witnessed anything like that. There were people, you've never seen, unless you've been there, you've never, ever, ever been anywhere like it. Every person in the joint wearing Packer or Bear colors, the emotion was unbelievable. The noise, there was blood pouring out of my nose. It was like a high free, just a deafening roar. People get into it. They dig it, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And so I would submit, booing Kobe Bryant, calling him guilty, calling him a piece of crap, is every man's right. Because he puts his $60 on the table, he walks in and he sits down after a hard day of work. He's going to look at these jackasses going through the motions. Maybe they're going to go play hard tonight. Maybe they aren't. And I'm supposed to just sort of accept it. And they don't want to give an autograph here. And they don't want to be bothered there. Well, I got big news for you guys that I'm going to boo you. I'll boo you. I'll call you names. I'll do whatever the hell I want to do. And if it hurts your feelings, why don't you go run to your wife and buy her another $4 million ring, you punk. You baby. You. Be right back, but I got to think of a word. Oh, I thought of one. Dyke. Why do I say dyke? Because Rosie O'Donnell is having a cruise, man. All right, so Kobe, apparently he kept calm in the first half, but his frustration boiled over in the third quarter. Lakers are playing lousy basketball these days, as you know, or maybe you don't. It doesn't make any difference. It's not a federal offense not to follow the Lakers. In fact, I think it's a healthy sign that you're beginning to think a little outside of the box. I think this time of year there's nothing to really follow. Football is going to be over very soon, and it'll be a sad day. Football, after this Super, and thank God they've extended it to the early months of February, so they're trying to stretch the season a little bit. But after the first weekend in February, football would be gone, and then you'll have nothing. You'll have nothing. Between February and the time they start camp in July, professional football camp in July and the exhibition games in August, there is nothing in the world of sports. I purchased a piece of a racehorse along with 15 other guys, so that my share comes to about $12. And he's going to be running, and I'll give you the name of this horse as soon as I know when he's going to be running. But other than that, there's nothing, man. And basketball sure ain't it. And hockey, forget it. I'm driving home last night listening to Nick Nixon doing the King game. And then that Canadian he's got with him, what's his name, Daryl Evans? Daryl's on, and, you know, he's got the distinctive Canadian voice, because all of a sudden, right, Minnesota today, they've shut out the, you know, that whole thing. And he's mentioning teams I never, the Minnesota Wild? When did that, is that some homophobic reference? It is. The Minnesota Wild is like, ooh-hoo-hoo. Like they're just flaming. Oh, you mean it's like an outdoors thing? What the hell is that supposed to? They got teams and markets, but the guy made a very good point after the show. He said, look, they got to close up half these clubs, man. If the NHL lost 6-8 teams tomorrow, it might be in better financial shape. Tampa Bay, Florida, Miami. I don't give a crap how many Canadians are living there. Don't start talking to me about how many Canadians live in Florida. They are transient snowbird people. This does not make a loyal fan base. This makes a bunch of Canadians flying down to Florida in the winter and, you know, having a little bit of curiosity about the Tampa Bay Gay Blades or whatever. What are they called? The who? The Lightning. I think Gay Blade is a far better name. The Atlanta Thrashers, the Nashville Predators. Next thing it'll be the Wisconsin Serial Murderers. Why don't you just come right out and call them the Wisconsin Ed Geens? Or you know how they have the Cleveland Browns? How about the Wisconsin Geens? They named the Browns after a guy. It sure wasn't what came out of the guy. And it wasn't the guy that ran running back for him either. These people go, well, Jim Brown, that's why they call him the Browns. No. Paul Brown. Paul Brown, the coach. Well, what about Jim Brown? He's a running back that played for the Cleveland Browns. Did they draft him because he's brown? No, he's named Brown because he's brown. How about that? I don't know. And I'm listening to this stuff, and I go, holy God.
Yeah, and also the Phoenix Coyotes, they lost to the Boston Bruins. And another thing,
I go, and the guys that are playing hockey, look, I don't mean to be a xenophobe. I'm not. You can make your living any way you want. And I'm not saying that a man doesn't have a right to come to America when he has a work permit and a visa and do whatever he wants to do. I can't follow a sport where there are a whole bunch of Ruskies playing in it. I'm sorry. I'm not interested. I'm interested in looking at American athletes. And, you know, Canadians, they're cool. Like when I used to go see hockey as a kid, we saw the minor league. They had all these Canadians down here. That's fine. I ain't going to go see a bunch of Russians. I don't give a crap. You understand? Why do I want to go see a bunch of Czechs and Slovaks? Well, that means, Henry, that you're a reactionary fascist, and you don't think that America's meant for everybody. Of course I think America's meant for everybody. Is there a problem with me showing a little bit of pride in my own people? All of my people. Black, white, green, brown, I don't care. I'm proud of my people, and America is a place. It has borders. It's not a free enterprise zone where you can come in, squat, dump, and leave. And thanks for letting us use the leaf from that banana plant to wipe. This is a place. So you guys are going to try to sell hockey to me when I got Vladimir Ashcroft and this guy and that guy and guys named Sergey and Ziggy and Vlad and Igor. No cat named Igor should be, you know, signing any pennant that my kid owns. Unless he's got the hunchback and, you know, he's got Frankenstein down in the dungeon. Then I definitely want that cat's autograph.
Yes, master.
Igor? Jesus, that's right out of a freaking James Whale movie. And they got Sergey, and they got Francois, and they got Mario. Get out of here. Boy, you just don't like culture, do you, Phil? I love culture, man. I love culture. I like American culture. These guys don't live here. They come over here and play their hockey, and then they go back home to the really good hockey teams. So keep that in mind. That's another thing about American, North American hockey. It's secondary to European hockey. That's the good stuff. It's over there. It ain't here. This is minor league compared to that stuff. Minor league. Those guys come over here, they make a few million, they go back to their apartment on the Volga River, or they go back to their crap hole there in Bucharest or wherever they're from, and the government pays them large amounts of money to, you know, get on the television and start hawking, I don't know, Romanian cola or something.
Hello, my name's Sergey Vesna, and this is the best kind of tobacco that I like to chew. Bucharest chew, new from Kellogg's.
All right, coming up, news that even football players or Russian hockey players can understand. Talk about how stupid you think those guys are. They're probably not very stupid at all, but let me just say it just to kind of provoke them a little bit. Boy, how dumb do you think Russian hockey players are? You take enough pucks off the head, friend. There ain't too much left of the brains up there. You think I'm kidding around? You take about 5 slap shots off the middle of your face, and you lose about 4 ounces of brain after every shot. Until at the end of a 20-year career, your brain is the size of a walnut. That big, because you take and you know, with those guys that used to play goalie without a mask, and everybody waxes nostalgic for those days, have you ever seen the faces on those guys? Remember Gump Worsley, that guy, that rusty door hinge that used to play freaking goalie for Minnesota? The guy never wore a mask. He had a face on him like somebody set it on fire and put it out with a track shoe. Unreal. All right, news that football players can understand. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Michael Jackson, what is it with him? He's got a, what? Something happened. We're going to talk about him, but a Nation of Islam has taken in Michael Jackson. I guess they want to convert the poor cat. I guess they're saying to him, see, you see white people now? Yeah. Yeah, see, now you see white people, don't you, Michael? You always wanted to be white. I know that's what they're saying to him. I know precisely that's exactly, without any question, what they're saying to Michael Jackson. Nation of Islam right now is saying, proving our point. This is the white race. This is how they hate you. And all of your cosmetic surgery, all of your hanging out with Elizabeth Taylor, all of your hanging all those velvet paintings, all of your bowling nights, everything, Mr. Jackson. All of your camping trips to Lake Kachuma, all of your scaling of bass and gutting them there in the sink. It's not going to make you white. You're a black man, Mr. Jackson. And from now on, you'll be Michael X or Muhammad Jackson or some jive thing like that, baby. We'll get you a name. Don't worry about it. We're running out of names. We have to go into our book of Muslim names.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Started Malcolm X. We ran out. He had to go with X.
What about Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, well, that's a cool name, too. And let's see. There's Rashawn Wallace, and here is Rashid Wallace. We got that guy that played for the Minnesota Vikings. I forget his name. Ahmad Rashad. We got Rashad Betty Rashad, Achman Red, Achman Green, Achman Purple. What kind of a name do you want?
Frank Turner.
Okay, Frank Turner. There you go. Here is Ryan. Ryan, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just want to see, where do you get your position on hockey players?
Where do I get my position on hockey players?
Yeah,
the same place I get my position on football and baseball players and basketball players.
Okay, and where's
general,
that?
General, I have become fatigued to the point of exhaustion, considering having to consider them in more fair terms, shall we say, than any other American. In other words, politicians we crap on all day long, and the work that they do for us is far more important than some toothless farm boy from Canada who skates around with a big stick.
Well,
and then gets paid,
excuse
me, I'm answering your question, and gets paid millions of dollars for it. And I'm generally tired of kissing the ass of all of these people, so I make fun of them.
Well, they come here for actually better hockey, better money, and a better life, and you actually don't know anything about them, because you're sitting here saying that...
Yeah, I do.
What
don't I know about them, man? I mean, they go back to their home countries after the season is over. Don't tell me better life, pal. They come over here, they make their money, and most of them split and go back.
Most of them stay here. First of all, you said
really?
He was a Russian.
Hey, by the way, I said what?
He's Canadian, so it proves to me
whatever.
That you really don't even
hey, know. Hey, Ryan, because I don't know a lot about picking my nose either doesn't mean that I'm an idiot, okay? You may be an expert on it, too. I mean, hockey, being an expert in hockey is like being an expert in being able to take a crap in the woods. It doesn't take a whole lot of brains.
Now you're saying my field of expertise is not to the same level as your...
No, I didn't say that. I say your field of expertise...
You know nothing about.
Well, I don't have to know anything about hockey, okay? It's a simple man's game, and it's a simpleton's pursuit. And I look at hockey the way I look at football. It is a meaningless entertainment pursuit that, quite frankly, they ought to be giving the money back that they make. Thanks so much for your patronage. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, as a public service, the Phil Hendry Show presents news that even hockey players can understand. From our studios in New York, here again is Bud Dickman.
Thank you. This is news that hockey players can understand. There's a fat woman who is a lesbian. Britney Spears, she married a guy and probably had sex with him, but they say they're not going to be married no more. That's sad, isn't it?
And now a Bud Dickman editorial.
Britney Spears and the guy, he probably had sex with her, and then she said, I don't want to be with you. It's sad.
Now more news that hockey players can understand. Here again, Bud Dickman.
The man in England town who has big ears, they say he killed it, a lady, and she was the princess of England. That's what they say.
And now more news that even hockey players can understand. Bud Dickman.
Pete Rose is a man that played baseball. One day, a man who had olive oil skin and greasy hair in a shiny suit said, "Would you like to bet on a baseball game?" And Pete Rose said, "Yes, I would." Well, okay, right there, he shouldn't have done it.
And now a Bud Dickman editorial.
It's this reporter's opinion that Pete Rose smells bad. You smell.
Now more news that hockey players can understand. Bud Dickman.
Landed in a spaceship on Mars. No, really, they did. Really? Okay. Well, if you don't believe me, you can ask my dad. Yeah, they did. Oh, you get out of here.
And now a Bud Dickman editorial.
They landed a spaceship on Mars. That's pretty good if you saw the pictures, but it also looks like it can be fake.
Now a Bud Dickman with more news hockey players can understand.
They say that teenagers that live in America are way too fat. That's what they say.
And finally, one more item, news that pro football players and hockey players can understand.
The girl that was in Austin Powers, who's black with a nice butt, she's gonna sing at the Super Bowl?
Now a Bud Dickman editorial.
She gives me a bone.
This has been news that even football players can understand. A presentation of The Phil Hendry Show. Solely responsible for its content.
I'm Bud Dickman. See you next week, everybody. Bye!
Yeah, goodbye, Bud. Thank you.
Bye! We'll see you later.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, well, now, will you looky here. Looky here. Howard Dean. You know Howard Dean, everybody's sweetheart. You know, I'm a Democrat, so I'm supposed to dig him. Well, guess what? I don't. I'm getting so sick and tired of you guys throwing these. Come on, will you get serious? Get serious. Let me just repeat what the standing philosophy and belief of The Phil Hendry Show is. Howard Dean, Wesley Clark, none of these guys got about as much chance of being elected president as I got of becoming a hair club for men spokesman. Ain't gonna happen. Do you dig? Are you dreaming? And then today, Madonna is endorsing Wesley Clark. Excuse me, what's that about? Here's a woman who did a video throwing a hand grenade at George Bush. Madonna, who considers herself an artist, and she couldn't be further from one. Oh, never mind. I don't want to go beating up on her, but, you know, give it a rest, okay, baby? You're just another clown with a video. You're just another person with a meaningless video, okay? Now she's endorsing Wesley Clark. Huh? I thought she was against the Iraq War. Dean's the man. What's Wesley Clark going to do? You just dig a guy in uniform, is that it? You figure the guy that's got it going on is a man better than some pansy anti-war governor from Vermont? So anyway, this guy Dean, guess what he said? They got a whole bunch of quotes that he wished, and he's even said he wished he'd never said it. Guy says that Hamas would be good and bad as the leaders of Palestine. Hamas, which murders children purposefully, on purpose. In other words, that's part of their operation in Hamas, to go and murder children. That is part of their tactical plan, to murder children. They'd be good and bad leaders of... They would be bad because they're terrorists, but good because at least they'd be running Palestine, whatever that means. This must have been said by an out-and-out idiot. No intelligent man says something like this. This guy must have been an idiot. He says Hamas is going to come into power in Palestine, which is true. When Arafat goes, there'll be a civil war, and Hamas will probably come out on top, but it ain't a good thing, because then we're going to have to go in and blow them up. He says there'll be a radical government in Jordan, which may ally itself with Iraq. It's a frightening proposition. Well, hey, Howard, we took care of one of those problems. We took out Iraq. You feel better now, or do you still wish we hadn't have done it? He said that George Bush was in his soul a moderate back in the year of 2000, a moderate. But now he says George Bush is just an entitled rich man who believes if you're poor, you deserve it. If you're rich, you deserve it. So Howard Dean is just another lying sack of crap politician, okay? That you guys think you're going to get some better deal with him? You're going to get the second coming of Jimmy Carter. That's what you're going to get. And as much as I love and respect that man, and I do, we all know that President Carter was fairly paralyzed as a president. We all know this. Anybody that lived through it. You want that? You're going to get it with Howard Dean. You want that? You're going to get it with Wesley Clark. Paralysis. Wesley Clark wore a uniform. Wesley Clark, in his heart of hearts, was a Nixon supporter, a Reagan supporter, a Bush supporter. Now Madonna's digging on him? She's going to have a fundraiser over her spread here in Hollywood for Wesley Clark. The biggest opportunist I've ever seen in my life. Look, General, go over and blow something up, okay? Go murder some terrorists. Go do something that you know how to do. Don't run the country. All right, now the other news we have here is the Mars lander. That's right. They can't get this thing off the platform. Do you hear about that? They got this $126 million. The thing, now, you got to understand that this is beautiful. I thought, for some reason, silly me, that it landed on Mars in much the same way we landed on the moon. You know, as a little craft that comes down with retro rockets. But no, since it's not a guy, it's just a thing, they just drop it right onto the planet's surface. They drop it. Now, the reason why it doesn't break is because it's surrounded by some kind of enormous space-age bubble wrap. Huge, huge, I'm serious, bubble wrap. All right, now, the thing's coming in from outer space. It just comes flying down out of the air like a huge bubble wrap Federal Express package. Some Martian cats, they're like, what the hell was that? Talk about being afraid of whether there's life on other planets. The thing bounces off the Martian surface. Seriously, literally. The first bounce was actually tracked by JPL. By the way, JPL, these are some great guys. I got posters from JPL back when I was working at another radio station years ago. I did a whole bit about Voyager. And they thought it was so funny, they sent me huge pictures of Saturn. And these guys are like mental cases over at JPL. Jet Propulsion Lab. They got a working agreement with Caltech. I mean, we're talking serious brain surgery. So now they track this thing. It comes flying in from outer space. So imagine you're sitting there on the surface of Mars, minding your own business, and suddenly, boing, 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 boing. And you're like, oh, I gotta stop drinking. I know, really. This is, and it bounced the first. Yeah, you guys, it's like sniffing the last bit of the. You know, this butt is bad. Anyway, and they track, it was 26 feet in the air. It comes down. It bounces 26 feet up in the air. Then it bounces again. Bounces again. Bounces again. Bounces again. Bounces again. Now they find out that the way the bubble wrap came off of this thing is in such a way that it's blocking the landing ramp from coming down, and they can't get the Martian rover off the platform, down the ramp, and out onto the surface of Mars to take more pictures. And after $126 million and millions and billions of miles, they can't get the bubble wrap out of the way. And I said to Janice, and with all innocence, and she laughed until she was sick, and I said, what's wrong? She goes, it's just funny. I said, well, how do they know? What if it didn't land right side up? What if it landed upside down? What's wrong? It's upside down. We can't. What do you mean it's upside down? I can't get it out of there. I got $126 million that says you're going to get it out. I can't get it out. It's upside down. Well, why didn't we plan on this? I don't understand. Well, it comes down. It bounces. I know. You explained about the bouncing. Remember we had lunch? You told me about the bouncing, I signed off on it. But I didn't know it would bounce and then went upside down. Yes. Oh, come on, baby. We got the good pictures. We got everything. I got website. I got a 15 million hits yesterday, baby. We're going to be on Matt Drudge. I got a Visa banner that's going up, okay? Toys R Us. I got a tie-in with In-N-Out Burger. And you're telling me the thing's upside down? I don't know what to do. Well, you better figure out something, because I'm meeting with the president in 5 minutes, and I ain't walking into the White House with a steak dinner going on. He's got the president of Angola in there, some cat with a funny hat, and I got to walk in there. I got to go, by the way, the Martian lander's upside down. Well, I'll work on it. Yeah, you do that, man. So the guy's going, I don't know how I'm going to do this. The bubble wrap's in the way. The bubble wrap is in the way. Well, I don't know what the hell to do. Well, how do you get bubble wrap out of the way? We're on Earth, and that's Mars. How do you get it out of the way? I don't know. I think it's amazing that they're actually thinking about solving the problem. I'd give up. I would. I'd say, well, I got it there. I don't give a crap. Well, you can't leave now. I don't give a sweet Jesus. I'm leaving, okay? It's been 15 solid nights without sleep. I'm leaving. Why? I can't get the thing out of there, and I got to figure it out now. I'm done. I'm frustrated with this whole operation. Well, you did a really great job. Yeah, I did a really great job. I can't get the bubble wrap out of the way. I can't get the thing off the thing. Look at that. There's a sticker. See it right there? It says, you know, go NASA. It's for you. Well, it's in the way. But they're actually working on this project. Now, how do you do that? What do you, what? How do you, from Earth, get the bubble wrap out of the way of the landing ramp? Well, what they're thinking of doing is maneuvering the rover so it goes off an alternative ramp. I'm thinking, gee, that's a great idea, an alternative ramp. Now, that's good thinking. Not just one ramp, but they'll have another ramp. The problem is they don't know how to turn the thing around to get it down the other ramp. So this is going to take 16,000 guys with doctorates in astrophysics and toilet flushing.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
By the way, I don't want to get too much further into the show. I want to congratulate our flagship station in Los Angeles, KFI. Today it was announced that KFI is now officially the most listened to talk station in America, beating WABC in New York. So that's something to be proud of. It is something that is a great responsibility that we have, and I want you to all know that you shouldn't have entrusted it with me. I'm not responsible at all. It's really silly, and something's got to happen. Somebody has to do something about it. Okay. Coming up right now, we have Peter Oliver was on our show yesterday. He is a man who, to put it succinctly, was once straight but chose homosexuality. Why? Because women, even though he gave them flowers, gave them candy, called them at work, got to know their family. Women treated him badly and wanted to be with bikers and bad guys like that. So he believed that he should beat the hypocrisy out of women. So after beating up women and sending flowers and candy to their mothers, he's decided to become a homosexual.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, hi, Phil.
Hi.
Love your show. Just got to tell the guy that's on the line with you, this is ridiculous, okay? Just because you bring a woman candy and flowers, that means nothing, okay? Unless you bring her a diamond ring and propose to her, she does not owe you anything. Unless you're really ready to commit to her, she can go out with anybody she wants, okay? So what? My husband brought me flowers. He took me to the shows. But you know what? I expected that. That's nothing that's out of the ordinary. And if you think that the woman should just go, oh, my God, flowers, you know, if she respects herself, she should expect it, not just go, oh, how wonderful. Please.
Well, I want to say, Marina, I had considered giving these women jewelry, but when you give that kind of an expensive gift to a woman and she says, oh, well, I like that, I can immediately, I get a very bad sense about her because I believe I'm dealing now with a slut, a woman.
Why is she a slut?
Because
my
flowers are not good enough for her, and my box of chocolate, which is, I went to See's or Dilettante or whatever these fine chocolate makers are.
Listen, you're completely missing my point. I'm telling you
why do I want a slut for a girlfriend who's going to...
Hold on and let the lady finish. Go ahead.
Listen, thank you, Phil. Unless you are in a serious commitment, and I mean serious to the point where you're engaged to the woman and she calls you her fiancé and she's committed for the rest of her life to you, she can go out with anybody she wants, regardless whether you bring her flowers, you bring her candies, or you take her to the most expensive restaurants. That's the normal way to treat a woman.
Yes.
And if you slap her, you know, if anybody ever touched me, I would not look at the guy ever again.
But I have a question for the caller, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
Marina, I have to ask you this. You're happy with your... You stay with your husband. No, you happy with your husband?
Yes, I am.
All right. Does your husband... Then I would have to ask you how it makes you feel. It must make you feel good when he forces you to have sex with his friends. Correct?
Well, wait a minute. What? Why are you assuming that?
Well, she says she's happy with her husband.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean anything about having sex with his friends.
Why?
Oh my God! You are out of.
Why do you assume
you are gay? I am so thankful you are gay. Because
why do you assume that
good
this?
Good riddance.
No, but you said you love your husband. Am I wrong about that?
No.
All right. Then your husband makes you put foreign objects in the different orifices of your body.
No, wait a minute. Are you saying that women can only love men that abuse them?
Yes, that is the point I'm trying to make.
No, no, no. Okay. Women who respect themselves do not allow that. And trust me, there are plenty of women who respect themselves. If you just happen to come across trust, it's your problem. You're just not looking in the right places.
All right. When your husband plays poker with his friends, he's never put you in the pot.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Must have been a porn movie he saw. There he is, Peter Oliver, the man who was straight but is now gay because women, they'd rather be with the bad boys. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Mexico. Mexico is not happy with the immigration policy of the United States of America, and wanted to touch on this because we really have to take into consideration what the Mexicans feel. They think that Bush's immigration ideas are just, they're okay, but they're not going to go through Congress. They want to see them reworked. You know, the balls on you people in Mexico, I truly admire you for the cojones, baby, that you got down there. What do you mean our immigration policy ain't good enough for you? What are you talking... You know, that guy that they elected president down there, what's his name, Fox? I thought he was going to be good. He's just another one of these greasy bastards that they elect every 6 years or 7 years down there. Another guy trying to find a way to beat the system. Just another guy trying to find a way to take the problems off of his back and dump them into somebody else's backyard. And that backyard happens to be America's. When is anybody, somebody, anyone, anywhere, somehow going to say what needs to be said? Mexico needs a full-scale bloody revolution. You want to talk about a country that needs to be invaded? That's the one. And you guys, if I were the president of the United States, and I'm not, and probably fortunate that I'm not, but I think the mood that the American people are in right now, it ain't a good one. Okay, we got our fists up. We realized all along that people hate our guts, but we never knew they hated them as much as they do. And we reacted the way we react. We reacted the way we have for 200 years. We went out and kicked a little ass. People don't like it, but, you know, since when did we ever care about that? We do what we have to do for our country. Now you're dumping millions of illegal human beings in the United States. I understand that they serve a vital purpose, and this is not about those people. This is about policy, political policy on the American side and the Mexican side of the border. Now, Americans won't do those jobs, and so I'm told that it is necessary for Mexicans to be here. To the point now where the president of Mexico and the Mexican people themselves are going to dictate policy. They're going to tell us how the immigration thing works, when it works, if it works, what they'd like to see, what they wouldn't like to see. Otherwise, there won't be anybody around to get your bonus jack and your fries for you. There won't be anybody around to pick the grapes. There won't be anybody around to burp your kid. There won't be anybody around to mow your lawn. Now, part of the problem was made by the American people themselves, who have always been very stupid when it comes to reasons for immigration, reasons for migrations of people in this country. The native-born American has always been thick to the point of sad when it comes to understanding what pushes demographic in this country. They don't get it. They're dumb as Georgia clay. But the fact is, somebody's got to educate them. Because this is one Californian. I'm just saying this is me. This is one Californian. That this place ain't going to turn into Quebec. So you can kiss that idea goodbye. This is not going to become another Quebec. We're not going to have nothing but Spanish-speaking people in California to the point where the state decides it wants to be a part of Mexico. That ain't going to happen while I'm alive. You got a president down there in Mexico who says, I want to get rid of the border between the United States and Mexico because, after all, our people work north of the border, too. You know something, Fox? Why don't you get this to your thick Coca-Cola-pushing head? What was that guy? He used to be pushing Pepsi? That's what he did for a living. Get this in your fat head, pal. Why don't you change policy down in Mexico so you people don't have to come north of the border and begin to infect our country? And I'm not saying that in terms of the people themselves. I'm saying it in terms of the weakening of the economy, the weakening of our culture. It ain't about being Spanish or black or white. We've got plenty of people like that. It's about being American. And one of the things, unfortunately, that is the reality of being an American is that we speak English. We do. We are not multilingual. We are a unilingual country. We speak English. And try as you might to make us a bilingual nation, we will never be bilingual. That is a short road to losing your country, like what's happening in Canada right now. An entire province, Quebec, they're not even Canadians anymore. And why is that happening? Because there was no central strong sense of holding that country together. It's a big confederation of provinces, whatever the hell that is. And as a result, now everybody speaks frog up there, and they're going to have themselves their own country. Well, that ain't going to happen in California. That's not going to happen in my country, okay? One of the problems is that we have to get tough with Mexico. We have to say to them, not to the people themselves, the immigrants themselves, these are pawns in a game that is never-ending down in Mexico. The inability of that government down there to create any kind of a life for its people. The Mexican government continues to be one of the most corrupt regimes the world has ever known. While everybody points their finger at America, everyone likes to point their finger at us. Take a look in your own freaking backyard, Charlie. Mexico's a toilet. The people down there are manipulated and exploited by their own government and their own businesses. They're paid lousy. Their police are criminal. Without any question, criminal. And I'm not even stretching the truth. Everybody knows it. How can you be a cop in Mexico and be proud of what you do for a living? I have that question. Are you proud of it? Any Mexican cops? Are we skipping down to Mexico tonight? Are you guys proud of what you do? What do exactly other than steal? What does your government do other than steal? I mean, you do nothing for your people. And you got the greatest thing going, baby, because while you sit and do nothing, the Mexican people, because they happen to be a fairly non-confrontational people. They're a sweet people. They just come north of the border and work here. Because any time they've ever attempted to change anything down there, well, the brutality is evident. Assassinations, abductions, murder this, murder that. We know how things work down there in Mexico. Any honest man is dead within days. And so America has to pay the price. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we're prosperous, and so therefore we have to get crapped on. Because we're happy people, so you got to dump on us. Because we're successful people, so you got to crap on us. Because we've put together a fairly successful and well-oiled society here. Maybe it isn't perfect, but by God, compared to the rest of the freaking world, I'm living in Shangri-La. I don't know about you, and I've lived other places, and I've been around the world. No wonder the Mexican people want to come up here. As long as there's an America, we become now a garbage can for everybody else's freaking problems. And the president of Mexico has got the brass balls to say he wants the border to go away between America and Mexico. I'm going to tell you something down there, my fine feathered friend. You know what? Mexico's a hell of a lot closer than Iraq. And I tell you right now, it would be a very sensible thing about a 25-mile buffer. 25 miles sounds about right to me. American troops in Mexican territory. What do you think of that? Would that be a violation of international law? You making the statements that you make, and you trying to create a de facto new province out of California, I think that's a violation of international law. I think you're pushing it, pal. I think the cat's pushing it. As soon as the people in America wise up to some of this stuff and quit mistreating the immigrants, the immigrant Mexican is not your enemy. He's an honest man like you are, trying to feed his family. Your enemy sits down in Mexico City. He's a big, fat, lying sack of crap who's in the pocket of the PRI down there. They still run the show down there. Don't even worry about it. Your enemy is in the halls and the chambers of government of Mexico City, not the Mexican immigrant. It's stupid beyond words to continually bash immigrants in this state and in this country when they are nothing more than men and women like you who want to make a living for their families and doing jobs that Americans refuse to do. Get smart, learn a little bit about what happens in this country when migrants come here, and start understanding that the enemy is not in Washington, D.C. The enemy sits down there in Mexico City laughing his ass off as he sucks on another Pepsi. That's one man's opinion. My name is Phil Hendry. Coming up next, Little Eva and her feathered boa act. And later, lesbian lingerie party, all ahead on the Phil Hendry Radio Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now remember, tomorrow is our webcast from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific. Will be webcast on the web. So you can view that by going to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and purchasing a backstage pass for $6.95. You get an entire month worth of audio and video. Mostly audio, but, you know, a little bit of video, like our webcast. We have some interviews we've done on television. You might want to see what those are like. I don't know. But all that stuff you have to have a backstage pass for. So that's tomorrow. And in the middle of that, we're going to have our Dumbass of the Year Awards. Who will win in the various categories of Dumbass of the Year? The African-American division, Caucasian division, television star division, movie star division, youth division, male division, female division, and, of course, the coveted overall Dumbass of the Year. That's tomorrow, 7 to 10. Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and vote. That's right. It will be as a direct result of your voting to find out who wins in the various categories, and they'll be announced tomorrow. We'll be live at the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. Star-studded cast, Renee Zellweger will join us. Yes, that's right. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I know. We didn't think we'd be able to get her, but she has said, hell yeah. Jude Law, Philip Seymour Hoffman, anybody that was in Cold Mountain, in other words. So that'll be tomorrow, plus that chick with the frizzy hair. I forget her name. What's her name? Macy Gray? Yeah. So you'll dig it. That's tomorrow night on The Phil Hendry Show. Just a word now before we check out of the hour. I want to let you know the Ozzy Osbourne European tour is canceled, and you knew that was going to happen, right? There's no way they can let him out now. There's no way. Not after, you see, if he leaves the States, he leaves any real control. His wife, Sharon, is too busy with her TV show or whatever she's doing, a new cookbook for dogs, some stupid, silly project. And as soon as he left the States, he went over to Britain. He was on his farm, and someone who was in charge of him allowed him to get onto an ATV. And as you know, the result of that little escapade on the ATV found Mr. Osbourne laying on a gurney on a respirator. You don't let him get on ATVs. And now they've got to cancel the European tour. You can't let him out on a stage. What's he going to do now? He's going to set himself on fire. Ozzy, yeah, he will. I mean, he just, you know, there's a certain point where Ozzy, you know, he's fine. You let him go beyond that, man. Forget it. You can't have that man walk out onto a stage, pour lighter fluid all over himself, and set himself on fire and go, oops, and expect people to walk out of there without gagging. It's not going to happen. So, you know, he'll fall off the stage, he'll get cut in half by a helicopter blade as he's walking out back to get on the chopper to go back to the hotel. He'll try to stick his fingers in a ceiling fan, he'll try to put his face into a helicopter blade, we don't know. Even though, as Chris just pointed out, you're right, Chris, thank you, he always does fall off the stage, they are getting, they're improving now with science, technology, and many of the things we have today that we didn't have 20 years ago. We actually have ways of keeping Ozzy from falling off of stages that we didn't have 20 years ago, and it was with Black Sabbath, and he would just fall off on his face and break his face open. What they do now is they use super glue on his shoes and just keep him standing there going, you know, and so it's good. Because the guy don't move anyway, except wait, put his arms up in the air with his big fat tattoo and then clap over his head like he's somebody's old drunk uncle in a wash someplace. Phil Hendry Show. I love you, Ozzy.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.